This is Shavuot Unbound, mini episode 1. What the heck is Shavuot? Welcome everyone to a short series of mini episodes about the Jewish holiday of Shavuot that we're putting out. We have 4 episodes, and today we're going to be talking about just really what this holiday is. So, you know, Lex, in my travels throughout the Jewish community, I would say Shavuot is one of the holidays, and I guess certainly the biggest holiday from the Jewish past that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, that's totally right. It seems like it flies under the radar, and it's a word that you hear, but not something that folks tend to know much about or celebrate.
So let's talk a little bit about what this holiday is all about and what this holiday came from, because there's definitely at least one, maybe 2 sort of biblical versions of this holiday, and there is a rabbinic Judaism version of this holiday right after the Second Temple was destroyed, and then that rabbinic version has evolved over time. And the question coming up for us, and we're going to really cover it more in our second episode, is what might a post-rabbinic Shavuot look like, or a Judaism 4.0 Shavuot look like? So let's start out by saying, first of all, just the definition of the holiday Shavuot. Shavuot means weeks in Hebrew, and it comes from the idea that there are 7 weeks that pass between the holiday of Passover, the beginning of the holiday of Passover, and when this holiday Shavuot comes along. So now, I think that to the extent that people have heard of the holiday of Shavuot, they would imagine that it, or what they think it's about, is that that was the date on which we received the Torah. And you would think that if Shavuot is the holiday that commemorates the receiving of the Torah, that it would say so in the Torah, but actually it doesn't. In the Torah, the holiday is basically described as a harvest festival, which celebrates the wheat harvest. And the idea is that that is the day in which people would go to the temple in Jerusalem, bringing their wheat harvest, their first fruits that have grown, when the fruits started growing, that they would somehow mark them. And then at this holiday, sort of later in the spring, when the wheat harvest started, they would bring offerings, including animal sacrifices, also bread made out of this wheat. And also they would bring those first fruits that came up earlier in the season, but that they had marked as the first fruits. And they would bring all of that to the temple and either offer them as some kind of burnt offering or give them to the priests as a sort of a tax, and that there would be a large festival of celebration of basically the bounty of the land. That's the description that we have more or less in the Bible. And the only other thing that I, you know, would put out there is that there is probably a version of this holiday that took place before the Bible, right? That was a kind of a natural version of the celebration of the wheat harvest that took place in the Canaanite world, in the simply among the people who lived there before Judaism really became a formalized religion, or whatever we might have called it before Judaism, the Israelite cult. So, you know, just it's something that people do. We call it a pagan festival, but it's something that people do throughout the world. When there's the harvest, there's a big celebration. It's not about bringing sacrifices to another city. It's just about celebrating locally. So there's certainly hints of that in the Bible, that there's kind of a pre-Israelite cult version of this holiday where there's just celebrations in the field. And then when there's a kind of a formalization of the cult in Jerusalem, that there's this pilgrimage festival where everybody would come on the same day bringing all these sacrifices.
Yeah, and then what happens in terms of the evolution of the holiday is you flash forward to the rabbinic period, and because Shavuot is perhaps more than pretty much any other holiday tied to that pilgrimage and tied to an experience specifically associated with the central location of Jerusalem and with the harvest, there's all sorts of shifts that need to happen. And Shavuot's in this precarious position where a lot of what it has stood for doesn't seem to be so relevant anymore. And what happens is that's the point when somebody comes along and comes to the conclusion, oh, this is associated, or maybe this could be associated with the receiving of the Torah. And it's not a totally random idea. It's not like somebody just plucked this out of thin air. And the reason for that is that in the Torah itself, in the book of Exodus, it mentions that as the people of Israel leave Egypt and are wandering, they reach the wilderness of Sinai in the third month. And the third month is Sivan, and that is the month that coincides with this period 7 weeks after Passover. So obviously a whole month does not coincide with one particular day. So it's a little bit of a stretch to say, in particular, Shavuot, which is 50 days after Passover, is what they're talking about. That it could relate to any day in the month of Sivan, but it's close enough that they're able to say, you know what, we've got some sort of general idea that the month of Sivan is associated with the Torah, and Shavuot's in that month, so we might as well blend those two things together and make Shavuot a holiday that commemorates the receiving of the Torah. And that choice sets the tone really for all of the ways in which Shavuot would be observed from that point through really even now, because it has come to be associated with that seminal moment of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai in both the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy.
Yeah, and so I think it's really interesting to sort of imagine the situation, right, where it's like, right, this holiday that was a big, major holiday doesn't make sense anymore because both we don't have a temple and we're in exile. We're not really engaging in agriculture anymore in the same way. And probably the seasons are a little bit different, right? There are all sorts of reasons why this holiday isn't working anymore. And they kind of look around and say, oh, hey, look, turns out that the Torah was given in the same month. So we've got a hook here and we can make this connection. I mean, it's interesting to think about like what would have happened if the Torah said that the Torah was given in the fifth month. There would have been a problem, right? They would have had a problem both in terms of that they would sort of more have to invent a holiday to celebrate the Torah if that's what they wanted, and they wouldn't have necessarily had anything to do with this holiday. And it's interesting to me to think about like other holidays that we hear about in the Torah. Like, for example, there's a celebration of the water festival, you know, and there isn't really, we don't have that anymore, in part maybe because there wasn't a hook to change the definition of that holiday. One of the things that I think is really interesting about Shavuot that a lot of people don't know, and some people do know, is that in the Torah, where their description of the Shavuot pilgrimage and sacrifice is given, this is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, there is this description of what you do when you come to the priest and you bring your sacrifice, your offering on Shavuot, and you make a certain declaration, and that declaration, it's kind of like a pledge of allegiance or something like that. And the text of it is given in Deuteronomy verse 26, and it begins, "My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous." And then it goes on. And that is actually the heart today of the Passover Haggadah. You know, a lot of people have heard that line, "My father was a wandering Aramean," or sometimes it's translated as "an Aramean tried to kill my father." But it's this section. And it's always been really interesting to me that this section, which is so clearly talked about in the Torah as having to do with Shavuot, has ended up in the Passover Haggadah. And you would think the Passover Haggadah would be a lot better if it told the story of the Exodus from the book of Exodus. But instead, it uses this little part of the book of Deuteronomy, which is supposed to be for Shavuot. So, you know, there's this kind of mystery, like why that is. And I've always kind of thought that what makes the most sense is that, you know, imagine if something happened to the United States. You know, we have certain things like the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, all these kind of, you know, God Bless America, all these kind of songs and ideas that we really feel very connected to. And, oh, all of a sudden we can't say them anymore. That would be very depressing. That would feel like a lack. So, you know, maybe we move it somewhere else. So my feeling about what that gives us some sort of evidence for is that for a while, actually, Shavuot was lost as a holiday.
I think that's a really good point. And I also just wanted to bring in another evolution to Shavuot, which came even later. So we've already talked about some massive transformation. But one ritual which you look around today and is often highlighted as one of the key parts of Shavuot is this idea of staying up all night studying Jewish texts. And that's definitely not from the Torah, doesn't say anything about that, and it's not even from the early rabbinic period. It actually doesn't come around until the 16th century with this guy, Joseph Caro, who's the author of a text called the Shulchan Aruch, which becomes a very important legal text for his time and continuing to today in many circles. But I mentioned that because it's 500 years old, this tradition, and yet we think of it as sort of eternal and endure. At least I shouldn't speak for everyone, but I certainly think of that idea of staying up all night studying text as, you know, the key part of Shavuot. But in the grand scheme of things, it's incredibly new, even compared to rituals that came about in the early rabbinic period. So it's, I think, a testament to that idea that we really can and should look for new purposes for a holiday and create new rituals, because that one, I think, is a really fantastic idea.
Yeah. And so in our next episode, we're going to speculate a bit about potential brand new ways that we might celebrate Shavuot in the future, how we might think about it. But sort of taking this old, but not so old, idea of staying up all night studying text to the kind of more modern contemporary level, just want to note that we've created this website. We created the 1.0 version last year, and this year we're excited to release the 2.0 version. And it's called Shavuot Unbound. You can get it at our website, www.judaismunbound.com. Right now, it's going to be on the homepage. And then later, if you're listening to this and it's not around Shavuot time, you can find it under the Resources tab on our website. And there's going to be two things on that website that are particularly relevant to our discussion today. We have some information there where you can learn more about the history of Shavuot and various ideas about Shavuot. And then we also have this essentially modern digital version of the all-night study session, which you can use in groups with other people if you want. If you can use it at a study session that you might attend with other people. And if you don't want to do that or don't have a community with which to do that, or would just prefer to do it on your own or with a friend or two at home, it's something that you can use that way. And I know that you have done that, Lex. Last year, you used it that way. And so we really, it's designed such that you can spend as much time as you want on it. If you only have an hour to spend, if you have 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours, there are tracks that are lined up that really, we've created a number of different sort of subject areas that you could study, and they include videos and audio and all sorts of other types of content. And so we're really trying to take the idea of studying Torah beyond what it might have traditionally been thought of, and introducing all kinds of other more modern things that we could think of as the Torah of our time. And also, you know, for some people, electronics are forbidden on Jewish holidays, but Shavuot Unbound is kind of there for those who don't follow that approach.
Yeah, and I just want to, as we wrap up this mini episode, I want to mention one thing, which it might sound like we're being, you know, extra broad and interpreting big when we say, like, oh, it doesn't need to be just Jewish texts. It can actually be any kind of text. But I just want to highlight that the word Torah doesn't mean Torah. Like at least the word Torah actually means teaching. And so the idea that we could immerse in Torah by immersing in whatever kind of learning or teaching that we'd like to is not so radical. It's actually sort of, I would argue, what the natural meaning of the word is. We've sort of made Torah into this capital T or capital Tav in Hebrew word that just means a particular set of texts and ideas, but actually it just means teaching. So I hope that on this holiday that has become associated with Torah, we can think both about that, you know, Torah as five books of Moses, that Torah as, you know, broader Jewish learning, and even that Torah as just teaching learning in general. So on that note, we are going to close out our episode, our mini episode, and we want to once again encourage you to check out Shavuot Unbound on our website. It's our homepage during Shavuot, and it will be available on the Resources tab afterwards. And we also want to say that if you want to be in touch with us, we have our email addresses, dan@nextjewishfuture.org and lex@nextjewishfuture.org. So we hope you've enjoyed this initial episode of our Shavuot Unbound I guess mini series, if it's a series of mini episodes. And there's three more that you can check out that come directly afterward that we hope you'll enjoy. And the second is looking at the present and future of Shavuot observance. Dan and I given some ideas on that front. The third takes a look at this weird idea that we eat dairy products on Shavuot and what that's all about. And last but not least, we take a look at the Book of Ruth, which is associated with the holiday. So we hope that you'll check those out. And with that, this has been Shavuot Unbound.